Lovely cushion header. But Gerrard!
Hello, Internet. It is episode 77. That is, what do they call it in bingo? Two bendy trees? Something. Anyway, it's episode 77. Have you ever done bingo?
I have, yeah. Legs 11.
Legs 11. There you go.
But, I mean, this is like a 77 would be like, I don't know.
Person upside down.
I have no idea what it is.
I think it was like palm trees or something like that. Anyway, it's episode 77, LFC Podcasting Couch. Thanks a lot for coming back. I've got good old mate, George Xanthus. How you doing, man?
Good, on the beers.
Good to hear. And as we get started, I just want to shout out quickly to top listeners by countries in the last 90 days. Number one, United Kingdom. That's no surprise. 2,310 listens in the last 90 days. Then it was the United States at 1972. 1972 anyway, should I say. Australia coming up a tough third in 1,760. And then out of nowhere, Japan with 832 listens. I don't think I've even got a message from someone from Japan. So if you are from Japan and you are listening to this, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I'm assuming you're English speaking and English listening. Otherwise, this will be really, really confusing for you. But honestly, if you are a Japanese red, please send me a message at Podcasting Couch. I'd absolutely love to hear your story and get you on the couch. I don't care how long you've been following us for, how many followers you got, any of that stuff. Please do. Ireland comes in at fifth at 681. I've got lots of good people from Ireland, Avery Road Wolves, Day Trippers, all those good people. And Sweden out of nowhere comes in at sixth with 401. So I've never had a Swedish person on this podcast. So if you're a Swedish
probably
red,
my brother.
Oh, is it? Really?
Probably my brother's living in Sweden at the moment. He's probably on loop and repeat. Okay. I don't know.
I need to hear my brother's voice again so I don't cry myself to sleep. Nice. New Zealand, we've had a couple of guys on from New Zealand before. Germany at 312. And lastly, Canada, 198. Probably Dave Hendrick over there in Canada, just doing his thing. So thank you, everybody around the world. It's amazing. Yesterday, I had the second highest listenership in one day. And remember, I'm just a baby pod, so that was like 365 listens in one single day. So I'm very, very happy with that. Thank you so much for supporting this. It's always appreciated. Now, if you had seen the last podcast, I'm starting to record these things so I can scroll through what's going on Twitter, and you can now see the pretty face of George Xanthus if you haven't seen him before. That's a face for TV, not radio. Now it's a bit more radio. So if you head over to YouTube and search LFC Podcasting Couch, you will find the YouTube page and you'll be able to see this in color and see our ugly heads. If you really want to.
In color. In Technicolor. We're available.
Did he ever wear global hypercolor? Oh, you're too young for that shit. You're like 26, aren't you? Did he miss out on the global? Did he miss out on the global hypercolor phase?
What is it?
Bastard.
I just know Technicolor. The Simpsons would say.
Yeah, that was when became TV.
Or yeah. Stereo were available.
Now in stereo. No, global hypercolor. Now, the guys in England and the USA and probably Canada would actually understand what I'm talking about. There were these amazing shirts. So imagine this shirt, which is the Liverpool training kit, was actually completely black. Now, what you could do is put your hand on there and take it off, and you would have your handprint because the material would change color based on heat transfer. The problem was, the more you washed it, the more that chemical, whatever it was, destroyed itself, and it ended up just looking like a really shit, ugly hippie shirt. So it was amazing for about 2 or 3 years, and then the whole company went bust. It was amazing, though.
It's like, maybe that's what, was that in the 80s? Because there was that, Michael J. Fox wears that hat. It's like all in Back to the Future. That's all rainbowy.
No, that was just a tie-dye. Yeah, tie-dye was massive. Yeah, that was still. But yeah, that's a bit my era. So I feel old, but that's all right. I'm allowed to be old. So yeah, cool. George, thanks for coming back. How do you feel about that 4-0 win against West Ham?
It was so good. I was whenever Liverpool score, I just invariably do the finger, like the gunshot things. It's like a mixture between
El Pistolero?
Cactus Jack from WWF and Luis Suarez.
Nice.
So I was like, yeah.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing that I don't know who Cactus Jack is?
He's like Mankind. I don't know, wrestling. You know,
I've heard. Is Mankind. It?
Yeah, it's yeah. Mick Foley. All the wrestling fans out there
from the 80s, but I stopped watching the wrestling just as the 90s came about. Sorry,
man. Missed out.
The last thing I remember was, didn't Kane become the Undertaker's brother or something? I think that's when I stopped.
He was born as the Undertaker's brother.
Oh, that's amazing.
He was always the Undertaker's brother.
Okay, fair enough. No, I have no idea.
that victory was insane. It was great. I think it's something that we haven't seen. We saw that formation in the League Cup. We saw it get tested in preseason. We heard Klopp saying, "I want to use a specific system."
Yeah.
And then, we have different systems and different ideas for different situations. As he says, and we haven't seen it at all. And probably rightly so, because that 4-3-3 was probably our most stable. But mm-hmm. It's sort of every single player is in their right position more so than anything, I think.
Yeah.
So that's why it just seems to – it looks like it's going to work, and it freaking did work so well.
Quick-fire question then. Would you change anything, including Origi, if Firmino's 100% fit? Would you change anything for the next game?
No, absolutely not, because I think Firmino's proved that – well, firstly, he's not training, I don't think. I saw the photos from training this week, and Klopp loves his sessions. So
yeah,
he hasn't trained immediately, which means that he might make the bench. Sure. But, so I don't think he'll even be in contention. But if, like, it would be probably hypothetical, I still wouldn't do it, because he's actually not a bad super sub, Firmino. He's surprisingly effective.
We saw that the other day.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I'd just keep it the same and then go. It's been talked about the fact that we're not a team that likes to start quick, or, you know, I don't know whether that's something that the coach has said, look, let's just take it easy.
Yeah.
Try and score later on when they start to tire. But more so than ever, I think the whole stadium wants to see two or three goals in very, very quick. So let's hope that this 4-4-2 diamond is sharp enough at the tip, as they say, to penetrate.
Diamond. There was all kinds of things going through my head then, but it's. I did notice in the last game. I looked through what their last game was, and it was against Middlesbrough Southampton. They lost 2-1 to Southampton, and I was like, please, 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 make it that Southampton scored early. And what actually happened was that they waited till after half time. Oh, your camera's just falling over. That's right.
Just getting a beer.
Yeah, that's fine. And then they scored after. Yeah, they scored twice quite quickly, and I think they even missed a penalty. So that should have been a 3-1 scoreline to Southampton. It looked pretty comfortable. So I'm just praying that. And that was away. So it was at Middlesbrough's home ground. Southampton beat them, and we know Southampton's more of a defensive team these days than attacking. I think Gabbiadini missed. No, that was against Man United. Gabbiadini missed a penalty. So, bloody hell.
Just in time for my fantasy team, really. Like, he scored every single week, and the minute I put him in, he
bang.
Needs to miss a pen. He needs to not play the first game against. He didn't. What did he do? I don't think he played again. He didn't play against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then he missed a pen when he came back. So what a piece of shit. I hope he fucking. I don't know.
And this is why I don't play fantasy.
And by the way,
yeah, sorry. Go.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm going to do something for Liverpool. I was tempted to get either Sturridge or Coutinho in my team, but whenever I do that, they don't score. So
leave more
for everybody, I'm sacrificing myself for the club.
Thank you, appreciate
That's
that.
That's what I've done. What have you done for the club lately?
Nothing.
What have you done for
I'm
me
just
lately?
Buying their merch. That's all I'm doing.
What have you done for me lately?
By the way, anybody, if you are thinking of getting some training gear, I do highly recommend this shirt. So it is decent for going for a run and playing some football in. So goodbye. That'll be great. Guys who are on the podcast, listen to this. It is the training shirt, which is completely black but has the one red kind of rectangle thing with the black live a bird on it. It's nice.
You're doing some sales and marketing there.
I am. I'm trying to make my commission somehow or another. I'm still quite new into my new job, so I've got to make some cash money somewhere else.
It reminds me of whenever they do the kit launch.
Yeah.
And they used to ask Gerard, like they used to go to him first, and he doesn't give a shit. He never gave a shit. And he's just like, it's a good fabric. It's comfy. You know, it feels light. It looks cool. And it's just like, what else is he gonna say about a kit? You know, like they go up. I don't know who else they asked about the kit. You know, like just back in the day, maybe Suarez. You know, it's good to feel good in the shirt, and it feels nice.
What? Out of 10, this new kit. How do you rate it?
10. I like it, man. I'll give it a 10. I mean, would I like it? It just seems really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I did put out a tweet earlier this week again, just going, I'm unnaturally excited about seeing the team run out against Barra in this new kit.
Oh, they got the new kit this week.
They're playing it this week, yeah. So first time they're gonna wear it. I know. I don't know why I'm this excited about it, but it looks hot, so I'm very, 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 very much looking forward to it. So good bullet fingers. I'm super excited about it. I don't know why. I'll see if I can find that tweet. But again, it's just banging. Speaking of tweets, I did put out one that has started to do a little bit of a mini bang. I'll see if I can play here. If you're watching on YouTube now. So basically, I got Mourinho from 28th of May 2016 and compared it to Mourinho on the 17th of May 2017. And boy, has he aged. His hair.
Oh, wait, maybe I can do it. So this is him.
Do it.
What is it? So May. Oh, what? Last year.
Yep. May 2016.
In last year.
And it's just. Oh,
and then this year is just.
Oh, big baggy eyes, and oh my word! So he looks
the fixture. You know, the fixture list they give us is not good. They screw us all the time.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous! Here it is.
We got the trophies.
If you're watching on YouTube again, I brought up the picture. Just oh my god, like they do for some reason look like they got mini pot bellies, especially Milner and Jan. Somehow, in these new shirts, in the shirts that they did the photo shoot of, but they just look freaking sexy. Even the socks with the big white at the top. I'm actually like, damn, I can't wait to
see. The whole thing, aren't you? You're going to get the whole kit. You're going to get the socks.
I'm not even going to take them off. I'm just going to just wear them all the time. So yeah. Another
is like a deal. Do you get like, you know, the shorts for half price and the socks. So you get the whole kit for like a bundle. Like a Happy Meal or some shit.
Oh, that'd be great. If you could, that'd be amazing. Man, I love it. And I did another little video that if you're watching YouTube, you would have just seen. I just said, this is for every Liverpool red around the world. Distance means nothing when you have passion. I was trying to think of something inspirational to write on that to go with the video. But man, it
sounds like something Klopp would say.
Means nothing.
Distance means nothing when you have passion. Boom.
That doesn't sound right at all. Happy birthday to Bradley Lowry. You can tell the poor kid is super sick. I'm going to just play the video for anyone out here. He did a little thank you message to everyone out there.
Thank you for all my birthday messages, everyone.
Oh, that's so cute. Poor kid. He goes, thank you for all the messages on his birthday, everyone. So... poor guy. Let's hope he pulls through. That'd be great. So anyway, it's a bit of a downer. Sorry about that. Far out. Hey, I've had 62,000 impressions in the last 24 hours. I'm impressionable. Twitter's been a bit fun and weird.
I think I can do more impressions than that. Who do you want?
Okay.
Right here, right now.
We'll do the basic Robert De Niro.
Yo. Yo. Very good, you. You. You got a gift. You. I like you.
You get the face like better you. Than the voice.
I like the voice. It's a good voice. I don't know.
It's kind of a mix between Robert De Niro and Mourinho. he's good voice. Well, Van Hal, I'm terrible at accents. I can't do it at all. Okay, so the game. Sorry, football. We always tend to digress a little bit, which is the norm. Football. Completely. You're the one drinking beer. I'm drinking water, and I can't even think of questions to ask you. Do you have a question to ask me, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, what would you? How would you line up? I mean, you asked me a question. I probably should have just banged it right back at you. I think if we're in the same room, there would be a little bit more. I wanted to be in the same room tonight, but you didn't want. I was going to stalk you. I was going to be like outside your house and be like, "Let me in."
I was sending you photos of my night, and I was wanting my night to just. I was busy. For those who haven't heard,
bit your tongue there. Good job, yeah, biting your tongue. Busy. Like, I just wanted to keep shopping. It was so fun. Yay. I just felt like, you know, being more shopping and yeah.
Oh, God. So for people who don't know, I'm getting married in August. I've been going out with the same person that I'm punching well above my weight to have for about 7.5 years now. So we're finally getting married, 6th of August. And I'm starting to realize why every guy hates the wedding planning bit, because we spent 4 hours looking for shit, which I'm like, I don't understand why we need this thing. So I'm sure you've all been there. I'm experiencing it for the first time. It's painful.
Does the wife-to-be watch these videos?
No. She doesn't even like football. She still thinks Gerard's our captain, which I'm happier leaving her believing, so that's fine. So, there you go. She came to the Manchester City Liverpool 2013-2014 game when Coutinho scored 3-2, that final game. She came to Cheers Bar and watched that because I knew it was a huge game.
Henderson scored in that as well.
Correct. But the Coutinho goal is what everyone remembers with their company.
You know what that was? That was the first goal he scored from outside the box where he didn't drag it. But arguably, his shot, he was facing. Like, that would be the centenary stand, currently the Kenny Dalglish stand.
Yeah.
He was facing there. So technically, because he was facing that way, he dragged his shot because he shot it that way and he dragged it and it went on target.
Yay.
So like, I remember like going with my mates and saying like, because they're like, finally he scored. I'm like, no, technically he still fucked up his shot. You know, he still dragged it, but he was facing the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost like, there's like a Simpsons episode where this guy teaches Marge how to bowl by putting her in like three lanes over to the left. Because every time she bowls, it like swings that way.
Yeah,
so he just goes like, try this, Marge. And he puts her like three steps over instead of like correcting the actual thing. Technique.
No, I like it. It's good.
But so Coutinho, maybe Coutinho aims for the corner flag. That's why he keeps hitting these screamers.
How good was his first goal, though? Firstly, Wijnaldum. I think we all wanted in the last away game of the season, Wijnaldum hitting that shot. Jesus.
That would have been, I know, banish the demon, this stupid stat that means shit all. I don't know, maybe, like, there's probably plenty of people who haven't scored an away goal.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it just becomes a thing for him because when he signed for Liverpool, they just needed stats.
Yeah.
For, you know, to make it a controversy. It's like the thing that they're doing now with the Champions League where they're saying like Liverpool could face Sevilla. Liverpool could face Borussia Dortmund.
We shouldn't be in the Champions League if that's a problem after all.
Like, but these are like permutations and it's just, you know, I bet you we just end up getting like, I don't know, some piece of shit.
Genk or some shite. Yeah, I don't know.
Someone
from your home planet. Young fucking boys. Some Greece. Some Greek.
Yeah, Ike Athens or some dumb piece of shit.
Pauk, whatever they're called. P-A-O-K or something.
Paul.
Crap. Whatever. Did you see the video? Do you see the video of the Pauk crowd flaring up the entire stadium? My word. I'm pretty sure
it's a good way to give cops a lot to do.
Yeah.
Which fucking one do we put out first? Who do we kick out? Everyone does a flare.
Is it P-A-O-K? P-A-O-K.
P-A-O-K. Pauk, they call them.
Flares.
It sounds like a Greek word. But it's just like, it's like an anagram.
Oh, my Lord. It's 2 years ago. 3. They just keep doing it. Like, you go through YouTube, I'm doing it right now, and it's like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 2 years ago, everyone, the stadium is just completely on fire. So I'm just going to mute the audio because it's going to be from some other person's shit. Get rid of this crap intro. Here we go. It starts with like one guy in the background flaring up. Oh, I'll bring this into the middle. And then it just, oh my word. Okay, I'm just going to fast forward a bit because this, here we go. Far out. You Greeks are crazy bastards. Like, how do you even breathe? I don't understand this. Sorry, you can't see, but...
Oh, no, it doesn't matter.
Anyway.
I can feel the passion in my heart.
The passion. Passion. Well, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Passion.
Very, very impressive. So I wouldn't mind going to a Greek game just for that. My dream has always been to go to a Turkish game because they're just so mental, like a Beşiktaş or one of those Galatasaray versus whoever. I think it's Beşiktaş who's nearby.
Well, they said, I mean, to derail your Turkish idea and pull you back onto Greece, they say that Olympiakos and Panathinaikos is one of the top rivalries in the world. Like, you know, they go on about, you know, like that 442, like maybe 10 years ago or 9 years ago did a, so maybe it's not that big anymore because they used to be Champions League competing clubs.
Yeah.
Or they both used to be in the Champions League. Now Greece sucks. But they did like the top 10 rivalries and they're like Boca and who is it? Boca and River Plate? I don't know. Who does Boca play?
Argentina. Boca yeah, it could and, be River Plate.
Yeah. Yep. River Plate. You know, they, but Panathinaikos and Olympiakos is up there because there's like genuine knife fights and stuff.
Yeah.
Like they go
crazy.
They're pretty bad. And like Liverpool, Man United, I think was up there perhaps.
But now it's just all screaming and shouting and doing disgraceful chants at each other about dead people. So it's just disgusting. But yeah, that would be really, really fun. I think I had a point to say before then, but I've lost
it. Did I even ask you a question? Did I ask you a question? I don't think I did. I said, what would you do? Yeah, you said Manchester City. No, you started talking about your...
Yeah.
I asked you about what you would do in the game. Like, what would you do in the game?
I'll keep it exactly the same.
Considering your question.
Yeah. No, watching the first goal back again, the Sturridge goal, the one thing that... Origi has, which is literally the only thing right now that Origi has, is that he stays forward. When he's playing alone, he will get trapped by three or four defenders. But because he had Sturridge, they had to split. And so if you see Jose Font in the first goal, you know he's the one who kept him onside. And you look at him, he's looking right at Origi. He's tracking Origi. He doesn't he doesn't know where Sturridge is, doesn't care. He's on the other side of the field. It's someone else's problem. Sturridge does it beautifully. He bends back in so that he keeps himself on side. Then he takes off. And if you listen to Redmen TV, you go.
No, sorry, you go.
I was saying, so we know he's lost pace, but because he's so smart and his timing of his run is so good, he looks like if he didn't know that he had all these injuries, you would think he's a super, super fast striker, but he's just not. He's smart enough to time the run so well that he got ahead of the defense. And that wouldn't have happened in any other game. That wouldn't have happened if Origi wasn't playing. Simple as that. Origi had nothing to do with it except for splitting the defense, keeping the attack nice and wide, and staying on the side of field so Jose Font got distracted. Love it.
Well, the two things I was going to say was, firstly, do you think Sturridge knew that Jose Font, because when you look at Sturridge's run, you look at where he's looking, he is trying to keep on the shoulder of the line. There is actually a line there being kept by, they're playing three at the back, so maybe, I'm not sure who that far left dude is.
Don't worry about it.
But I think he's on the shoulder of those two. Jose Font is stupidly keeping people onside, but it looks like if you look at Sturridge's run, he's timing it to sort of beat his marker.
Correct.
I don't think so. The question is, does he know that Jose Font is keeping him onside? Because if you remove Jose Font,
he's
could argue possibly that he might just be offside.
I think
he's actually like a body length.
I think he's definitely offside.
Did he? Do you reckon he saw Jose Fonte?
No.
Or do you reckon? Yeah.
I think he would have seen him,
like,
but
a poorish run.
No, I think it probably was. But where Sturridge wanted the ball was when he was moving back into the line. You know, he does that backwards run first, and then he bursts forward. So when he wanted the ball was when he ran back, because that's when he was trying to get onside quickly. he saw the central guy, Collins, whatever his name is, run in field. And that's when...
I mean, Collins and the other guy were right in line with each other.
Yep. And then Collins moved up, actually, to try and get Sturridge offside. Problem is he didn't see Jose Font was still hanging back. So you're right. Sturridge was... Sturridge was trying to line himself up with the defenders around him, and then he ran. He was completely offside. Jose Font was actually staying in line. But Jose Font got distracted by Origi standing on the last man, something that I don't think Firmino would do. So I think Firmino, if he was playing in that position, would actually be coming back to receive the ball, which is why I think if that system works and that's the benefit we're getting, Origi staying as far forward as possible and just staying there, not wasting his energy, come back, that might be a good thing to keep him there and then bring on an angry Firmino to score two or three goals in the last 5 minutes if we need it.
Yeah. the second thing I was going to say was that I don't think Sturridge has... I don't think he's lost that, like, okay, compared to 2-3 years ago, maybe there is a slight difference, but can you, a lot of people are often saying that it's quick thought and quick feet, but not speed. But the way he beats Cresswell at left back, he's moving so quick and off the mark. He's still, and he's mentioned it, he's got the fast twitch.
Fibers
in his calves. He's got that. He always have that explosive off the mark. Now, whether the ball gets played over and he doesn't want to stretch his hammies and his glutes and all that to sort of, you know, go at a canter.
Yeah,
that's questionable. Maybe he is saving himself in that sense. But I mean, I haven't really seen the need for him to do like a Usain Bolt style sprint.
Yeah.
When he's needed speed and pace, he's always used it and left anyone that has been chasing him for dead whenever he's needed to use whatever pace he's got. So, you know, I don't think he's lost that much of it, to be honest. And it's being talked about a lot. And I think if he had heard as much of it, you know, as what we would as you know, not analysts, but fans who want to analyze, he'd probably get a little bit ticked off about that because he knows how quick he is. And I'm somebody who definitely is in the camp of, I still think he's got a lot of pace, a lot.
I think the biggest problem is that since Suarez left, Sturridge has been he's been expected to play as the lone striker. And I think he wants to be the lone striker. He wants to be the main man, but he can't make those darting runs. He can't get in behind the defense when the main two or three defenders are all on his ass. The problem with us playing 4-3-3 a lot of the time when it's not Firmino is that our left and right wingers are generally quite far back. And that lone striker, Origi or Sturridge, is left alone. So then you're leaving him alone. And you're saying, run, go run after the ball. And sometimes, like Origi, he'll get the ball, but he's in the corner somewhere because that's the only place we can put the ball, and then we lose the ball. And Sturridge is asked to, he comes back because he's like, I just need to have the ball at my feet at some point. And then people are like, why is he coming back? I'm like, oh, God, he just can't win. But now with a partner, it's different.
Well, yeah, with a partner, if Sturridge does come back, there's always going to be someone occupying that space up front.
Correct.
So yeah, the two up front is probably something that's gonna work really well.
Yeah, I hope.
And that might feed nicely. It might be a nice segue into Middlesbrough, how we think possibly it could pan out, because I'm a little bit afraid of the fact that, you know, Middlesbrough probably, because they did have a really good defense for a while in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And if any team, I mean, we've played all sorts of shithouse at Anfield, and the worst of the worst have come and parked the bus and frustrated us. So a question to you would be, what do you think makes this different? Is there an alternate reality, a universe where Middlesbrough frustrate us with parking the bus, or are we too good?
So I'm looking at the form guide right now on the Premier League table. So I'm going to go for the furthest one back. They lost away to Bournemouth 4-0. Then they won at home to Sunderland, which is no, because they're the only team below them. But then they drew at home to Manchester City. But that's Man City, right? So they may have got some bit of...
How's that 1-1? Yeah.
Yeah, 2-2. 2-2. So,
2-2. And that's, was it 2-2?
Was that the one where Middlesbrough should have won that game? It was. They got a penalty or something? I can't remember.
Is it the one? Is it? I keep thinking it's either Swansea or them because Negredo and Llorente are the same person to me. both left-footed, tall.
Llorente is at Swansea. Negredo is at Middlesbrough.
Yeah. But either it was, okay, if it's Middlesbrough, then it was Negredo who had a big chance at the end and didn't take it.
Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it?
Against Man City. Yeah.
I think they gave.
No, within it. No, it's not. No, I'm thinking of the wrong game. I'm thinking of Man United versus Swansea 1-1. That's right. What I was thinking.
I
of.
Could click in here and Llorente look it up, missed. But I'm lazy, so I won't.
Nah, yeah, I'm thinking of the wrong game. I only watch United games. I watch Liverpool and United.
Yeah,
always.
I watched the Chelsea Middlesbrough game, hoping that Chelsea would lose for God knows what reason, but they ended up beating them 3-0. It was pretty damn convincing as well, as Chelsea have done all year long. And then they lost at home just then to Southampton.
What would you say they did that unlocked Middlesbrough, or what did they do that caused Middlesbrough to buckle?
It was possession. Middlesbrough just got frustrated. Really? Yeah, and that's what we're really strong at. So the thing that Chelsea got...
The only thing I was going to say was that I was watching a Chelsea game recently, and I actually took a note of this, wrote it down in my Evernote on my phone.
Nice.
Which I can't, yeah. and one thing that they do, especially with their 3-4-3, yep, is that of these three, these two, it's like an alien.
Yeah, people can't see that on the podcast.
You can't see it?
On the podcast.
On the podcast, yeah. Sorry.
That's right.
Sorry, 3-4-3, the two wing forwards,
yep,
they're always receiving the ball, if you can imagine a left and a right,
yep,
forward. They're receiving it always on the inside corner of each box, of their respective, yep, corners of the box, mm-hmm, you know. I mean, Hazard will always receive it, or, you know, in any of the corners, or Pedro will. Right. So I remember watching that and just writing a note going, we need to do this, because one thing that was – that Klopp was lauded for at the beginning of the season was men in the box.
Yep.
If you do get to a dangerous position,
yeah,
the thing is that Mane would get to such a dangerous position that it was so enticing for everybody to bomb the box because he's on the byline because, yep, he's so quick and so skillful. We don't have anyone to do that now, so people are a little bit more tentative. They don't want to get in for a back spinning Milner cross, you know, like that's not it's not as lucrative an offer, but that was the main thing. And so I'm wondering if maybe sure it is possession, but when they do possession, they've just got the players to suit the system where Hazard and Pedro don't need to do shit all at all. There's a way where they don't have to do anything because Kante takes up two players.
Yeah.
Moses and Alonso are doing all the defending, so they're always free to be in and around the box. Yep. Receiving the ball in the box is what's going to get you results against teams who park the bus.
Yep.
Receive the ball in the box because either you attract two players to try and get the ball off you.
Jockey you.
Or to jockey because they don't want to foul you. Yep. Or you only get one person and they foul you, you get a pen.
Perfect.
So
either or was good. So two things that I've noted. One from the Chelsea game I remember very clearly is that they always had people moving. Always. Just like you're talking about, you can leave Kante to get the entire midfield. If they break, Kante somehow stops the break. Yeah. And it's really annoying because he's so damn good at it.
Skill.
Yeah.
It's a skill.
Now, the second thing I really noticed about the Liverpool-West Ham game is that, you know, when we got so bored and tired of the ball going out to the wing, then they hold it, then the ball comes back into the middle, then they go back across the field, and they come back around, all that kind of crap. The thing I noticed that was happening off so much more often than usual was that if it's Matip or Lovren or someone or the other, even Klein sometimes, when they come back into the middle, because we had two attackers and Coutinho and people in front and even Lallana because the team would move forward, they would do that incisive pass through the middle much more often. I think I saw three of them in the first half. I was like, ooh, this is good. You know, we're not just going to aimlessly pass it left to right, left to right. Someone's actually going to try that dangerous pass through the middle, and it was working. It was actually paying off. And so as soon as they do that, Then we can either play a triangle or 1-2, or they can lay it off to the wing and then do something dangerous. It was just a lot more interesting to watch. For that one particular fact, we had people in front of the ball that were able to receive the straight pass.
It's a bittersweet, I don't know what the analogy is to sort of describe it, but it's you're losing your wing play, yeah, which is something that we want. 4-3-3, you do want your wingers out wide, and our ones come inside if you've got if we did have Mane, or Mane usually stays wide, but Coutinho obviously comes in.
Yeah.
But essentially, we've dropped that. And if you're playing a 4-4-2 diamond, you've essentially got four people in the center.
Yeah.
And then you've got your two strikers. And like you said, if Sturridge is going to drop deep, you've always got a Rigi up there. So you've got so many options. So, of course, like you just said, if Klein's going to play an incisive pass, he's got like five to choose from.
Yeah.
I mean, if Chan drops, then you've only got four to choose from and a safe option.
Mm.
And then Chan can probably, if you're imagining with Klein on the ball,
yeah,
and Klein's more tentative than Milner. He's a lot more tentative. So if you now imagine, for those of you who cannot see the YouTube screen, you imagine Klein on the ball, his option will be to his back and left would be Chan.
Yeah.
As soon as Chan gets it, he gives it to Coutinho, who's front and left.
Yeah,
it's the Arsene Wenger mentality where he says, I think you always receive the ball on a diagonal or something like that. Nothing flat, always create an angle. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, exactly like you're saying, there were dangerous options, let's just say.
Can I transport you into a wonderful world of being a Liverpool player? Just close your eyes for a second. Everyone out there as well, if you're listening, yeah, close your eyes. Okay. You're 22 years old. You've been at Liverpool for 3 years. You're a striker with huge potential and huge promise. Okay, just stop wetting yourself for a second. You've just scored a goal. Now, it's coming up to the end of the season, and your strike partner has also scored a goal. However, you're wondering, you know, maybe if I scored a second goal, it'll help me out a bit more. Anyway, you're on a break. There's only one defender. Your strike partner's with you. You're running at the goalkeeper. You have a decision to make. Do you do the easy pass across the goal and give your strike partner an extra goal, which could maybe force you down the pecking order because history will remember them scoring two goals and you only scoring one? Or do you go for gold yourself, try and get the plaudits, and you know you will get the headlines? What do you do?
So I can answer this in two parts. I mean, I know what you're saying. If you were to describe that to me, exactly what you said as a footballer, mm-hmm, I would take it myself.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you look at, if you're going to then say, what you're alluding to is Origi's big chance where
guess?
He could have played Sturridge in. Because what Origi does is he's got that much time and he sees Sturridge, and Sturridge has his arms all up and he's onside and there's no excuses. In that situation, if you put me in exactly Origi's one, I'd be playing it in.
Yeah.
And if you notice, Mane plays, I'm sure Mane plays Firmino in a similar situation. And Firmino,
that's against Leicester.
Against Leicester.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking amazing footballer, but I'm not. But, you know, I would think that. But also the better example would be Sadio Mane plays someone in, and he's a better finisher at the moment, clearly, than Origi.
Yeah.
So the correct answer is you play in.
Yeah.
You play in the other person, and Origi fucked that up.
Yeah. It's frustrating as hell because he would actually, I think, get more plaudits if he was smart and made the pass. What he did was not smart.
I could now go on the other side of the fence and say what you want from your number nine is you want them to be greedy and you want them to have the ego. And a problem I have with Origi is he looks too nice. I actually reckon he needs to shave his head.
Yeah.
He needs to get rid of the bum fluff on his chin. He needs to do something just to make, because
change his name to Gabriel Jesus as well.
Oh, I don't know. You put Devok on the back of this shirt instead of
Yeah,
Origi. It's
why
just
not?
Devok. Who Devok are you? He just. I think he needs to do like Henri. There was a period where he looked a little bit sort of light. He looked a little bit nice. Then he shaved his head, and every time he scored, he'd just be like, he'd just be cool and just, be like, oh, I'm the best in the league at the moment, and I just scored a fucking sick goal. I reckon Origi needs to go shave his
He needs
head.
to do
And
something.
you know what? You know what? He's playing with Belgium at the moment, and Henri is his striking coach.
Coach, yeah.
He's the assistant coach for Martinez. So, I reckon that's the first person he needs to go to. The first person he needs to listen to is Henri, then Klopp, then I don't
That was going to be
know,
my next point.
Sturridge.
You'd want that from a number nine, right? What do you think a number nine for a Klopp team should be like?
It seems like the correct answer is Firmino. It just should be that, But I think what he probably wants is maybe Aubameyang. So you need someone who's 6 foot
No,
or
I'm
more.
talking about, sorry, in that situation,
Oh, in that
in on
situation.
goal. What do you think a person like Klopp would want you
He
to do in that
passes it.
situation? That's what I'm saying. A
Probably
normal number nine,
passes it.
in our worlds, yeah,
Because,
nine. You want the nine to take a shot because you want to have confidence. But I think, man,
Torres scores from there.
yeah,
Torres never passes from there, ever.
Suarez.
He only passes to Ger he only passes to Gerrard. And but Suarez had one. It was against Everton where Gerrard scored a hattie. And Suarez was in on goal and he saw Gerrard and he must have thought maybe hat trick. It's 2-0, there's less pressure.
Outside the foot
So he
straight.
did cut he did and he yeah, he cut it back for Gerrard and Gerrard bundled it in.
Do you remember the one when
So
he and Sterling were one on one with the keeper and Sterling ran up and he was like faking to pass to Sterling and then in the end he just kicked it past the keeper and Sterling put his hands on his head like, oh no, I could have got a goal. I could have got my $5 bonus. Fuck this, I'm off to Man City. He did take a lot of times. He could have passed it easily across the goal for a tap in, especially back to Sturridge. I know he missed out on a few goals because of that, but who cares? He got his move in the
it's
end.
a it's a good question, and there's it's a good series of what ifs, but yeah, I think the correct answer is he should have passed. But
If he scored, would we
does
even have
T
this
okay?
question?
I'll ask you. What does Thierry Henry do there?
Oh God, yeah, he scores for sure, but he
He
can.
scores, so I mean, he can. But you're never gonna. It's almost like in training, you do that. That situation comes up, and you shoot, and you miss, and your teammates get shitty at you in training. Happens all the time in training. And you turn around as a player and go, if I'm not going to do it here, where else am I going to learn how to do this? Then the next step is in the game. And in the game, if you're going to sit there and you're going to pass every single time, how are you going to learn? Well, there's got to be times where I put this away because you could have Lazar Markovic, by the way, on the other side of the fucking pass. And what happens when it's Lazar Markovic and not Daniel Sturridge?
Into the
Of course, you've got to have the
sky.
speed of thought. You got to have the speed of thought to know who it is. And Origi had ages, but he does need to learn how to finish those sorts of opportunities because, and when else are you going to do it? 3-0 up. Was it 3-0?
That's what I
4-0
that's
up?
what for. But that's what I
4-0.
think also bothers me is that he knew it was 4-0 up and he was thinking it's 4-0 up, why not? When the rest of us, me especially being a complete stats geek, is thinking we need that extra goal difference. We need that extra one just in case.
Hold on, hold on. Fuck you. You wanted 5-0 because you predicted
I
5-0.
did.
I predicted fucking 4-0 and I won.
I really wanted that
And
5-0, man.
that's how the cookie crumbles.
I was getting ready for the whole, yeah, motherfuckers, I told you so. I didn't even.
I had my retweet wet ready and all of three people liked it.
Like,
I
tick.
was almost Elmer Fudd just then. They were wetty. Whoa.
Well, that's Rory Hobson, mate.
So you know what, Origi, you did the right thing because you missed.
Fuck
You
you.
made me correct.
Whatever. All right, next week. Do you think he'll do the same thing if it's the same situation? 4-0 up.
4-0 up. What will Origi do? You
Yeah, 4-0 up. Exactly the same
know what?
situation.
I've backflipped again. I want him to try and shoot every time, because if we want him to become the player that we think he's going to be, he's got to be a badass. He's got to fucking get harder.
Yeah.
Everything he does, I don't want him. He's like halfway between a Jordan Ibe and a Sterling. Sterling's like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah.
You need a player to be a piece of shit. Suarez is a fucking mongrel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got mongrel piece of shit.
Yeah. He's proper insane.
Origi, then Ibe. Yeah. You know, Ibe had no conviction.
Just looks
Origi, like I said, he's going to shave his head. He's going to have a mogul.
He has to, yeah.
Something dumb. He's got to get a piercing, a tattoo
even,
on his fucking
even go throat. Moreno, just bleach it blonde for no good reason whatsoever.
Yeah, blonde. Like Abel Xavier.
Yeah.
Or something weird. Or Gibril Cissé. Cissé, everyone thought he was awesome because he had piercing,
and
bleached
the,
hair.
The goatee and everything. It was beautiful. I think
wear smaller shorts. He's wearing his shorts. He looks like a dumb idiot.
Like I'm basketballer.
He looks small with the shorts on because he's wearing shorts down to his fucking calves. He's got to put smaller shorts on. Got to be Henri. He's got like Henri had the small shorts as well.
Barnesy.
It's come fashion. This has become fashion.
John
now.
Barnes. Just go with like shorts this long.
It's like pencil. He's got to put short sleeves on. Yeah. No, long sleeves. Not the fucking because he wears. Doesn't he wear the short sleeve with the fucking under top?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's got to fix his image
something,
up.
Yeah. Put his socks down. You know, sometimes there's really fast players, they wear the socks
Totti.
Down. Yeah, and...
Totti looked like he was like, he's in the... Didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like the shinies with no strap.
Yeah.
And they're just falling down.
No problems. Who cares?
And it exposes your awesome calves.
Yeah, of course. Never skip leg day. I think you've even put a tweet out there of never skip leg day too.
I never skip it.
Quick,
I skip it all.
I think if Origi does that again in front of the Anfield crowd, people will lose their shit. Like, I think the crowd will actually get up in arms, even if it's 4-0 up and there's a wide open pass to Sturridge to, and they're in front of the cop. I think if he tries to shoot and he screws up again, oh my lord, even though we know he did the right thing, he needs to practice, the game's done and dusted, all that kind of good stuff, I genuinely think the fans will absolutely puke.
I don't think he ever passes. I don't think he's ever, because he's got it in his mind. Someone's told him you need to be greedier and you need to be harder. You need to be more of a badass. Like they've said that to him.
Yep.
And his answer to it is to, in those situations, take the selfish option.
Yeah.
And he does, you know, he shoots when he should pass a lot. He actually does it a lot.
He's got a better shot from outside the box, like that freaking 30-yard banger that he did and skimmed the crossbar. Bloody hell.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, he's 22. When Coutinho was 22, he couldn't hit a barn door. So, you know, like, it's how you learn. Yeah. Coutinho did so many of them and they went wide. Now he's got the knack of it. So, you know what?
Keep going.
Maybe we just let him make the mistakes
and
give him, just have some patience and give him the time. And I'm being so diplomatic here.
I know, right? You're such a nice guy. Then we just have to stop him from saying, don't go on the last man anymore. Come back, pick up the ball, shoot from 40. Just keep doing that all game long. It's all good. We know you'll score one of them.
Yeah, again, I'll echo it. He just needs to stay close to Thierry Henry in Belgium training.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be great for him because he's doing that whip shot that he did against West Brom.
Yeah.
Was it? No, or Sunderland or West Brom or something like that where he scores from like the edge, like the corner.
Yeah.
And it goes round the keeper.
Oh, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
He now needs to do the Henri thing. If he can pick Henri's brain, get to the edge of the box and do the side foot curl top corner.
Oh,
well, not top corner, but just round the keeper.
Yeah.
Where you roll it round.
Yeah.
It
just, if he has the composure, like, you know, when he skinned Carragher that game, ugh, like best and worst moment of my footballing life at that point. Yeah, he totally skins Carragher.
Henri.
Yeah, Henri, yeah, sorry. If he turns into that kind of footballer where he just has that kind of balance and that kind of speed of thought to do that, then yeah, that's the footballer we think Origi will turn into. He's just a good couple of years away from that, I think.
Mm.
He'll get there.
Definitely.
Anything else? What's your actual prediction for the game?
I think this is a 3-0. I think it's a 3-0. I think we get one. I want us to get one so we don't start quick, so we're not going to get the early goal. I think it the best we can hope for, and if you are going to make a 3-0 prediction,
Yep.
you know, like if you're looking at percentages of things happening in terms of like what's the chance of this happening, the chance of us having a strange opening 15 where we're feeling it out and the crowd getting a little edgy, and then we score it at a dumb time, like the 31st minute or the 27th minute, where it's literally at a time where you're like, how does that even matter? That is the most probable outcome, because it happened against West Ham and it's happened a few times. It even happened against Crystal Palace. Coutinho's free kick, I think, comes around that sort of time. You know, we've dominated and then we score off a free kick of all things. So I think we get one there, and then we get two more, because Barra maybe, do Barra come out after 1-0? Possibly not, but we're playing the same football, so maybe we can score one, we can score two, and then at 2-0 they're disheartened, so we get a third.
Fair call.
I'll say three, and I think if we're gonna, for us to score, Sturridge needs to score. I think it's that simple. That's what's unlocking us at the moment. So
Definitely.
yeah, Sturridge to score 3-0.
All right. I'm going to go a 5-1. So, I think it's going to be 1-1 after the first half, and things are going to
Gross.
be, and then we're just going to go and spank them 4-0 in the second half.
See, I don't imagine a situation where we're 1-1 and then we decide to turn it on and go full, because 1-1 we're nervous and we're saying I don't think we can make the Champions League is what everyone's thinking. So the whole everyone's nervous and that's a different energy. At 1-0 I can see us going 7-0. But 1-1, that's an interesting call. Put money on all of that shit
Oh,
and
for
you'll get
sure.
millions of
Yeah,
dollars.
I'm seeing it happening. I reckon it's going to be a corner. It's going to be that tall bastard, whoever is just going to score from the corner. They may
Agüero.
even score first, and then everyone's going to go, Arr! And then it come. Then we do
Squeaky
score.
bum.
Yeah, we do score. Coutinho free kick, something like that. Maybe first half, and then second half is just bang, 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 bang.
I can tell you that it's Sturridge. So if you can imagine the goal, facing the goal on the right hand side of the goal, and he does a step over and plays it into Coutinho, and Coutinho plays the 1-2 with him, because Sturridge has got that fucking. It happened against Aston Villa. Remember that game where he came back for Rodgers, and Rodgers like, "You give me the tools," or
Yeah,
something. Well,
we'll do
it
something
was
for
that
us.
game where Sturridge scored a couple, and Coutinho set him up. I reckon he does that. Step over, beats that player, which is what we've needed. Plays Coutinho, 1-2 into the box, and he'll slot. I want him to slot outside, roll left foot around the keeper.
Brad
Fuck, that
Guzan
fucking
or
happens. Sorry.
Brad Guzan or Victor Valdez. Victor Valdez has
It'll be
28
Guzan.
appearances. Is it going to be Guzan?
It'll be
He's
Guzan.
only played nine
Hasn't
games.
Valdez is fucked up, hasn't he?
Has he?
Valdez is fucked up. He did something stupid, didn't he?
You would know.
That's what they were
You're the
saying.
FPL guy. I don't know. Is Valdez
I don't
like.
know. I don't know. Someone said, I heard it from somewhere, that he dropped something. He dropped a stupid shot. It looked like he couldn't give a fuck.
Oh,
So they
really?
put Guzan in. I don't know. Maybe. I don't
Okay, we'll look at it. Ben
know. Yeah.
Gibson,
No, I think it's Guzan.
Jandaleira. Okay, they got.
I think, you know what? It's a win-win, because Valdez doesn't give a fuck and like he's just having fun, and Guzan's really bad. So it's like a win-win. Like Valdez is the better keeper, but I think he's just he's lost interest, possibly.
Do you actually do you oh they got Negredo and Rudy Gested. You know they're probably gonna play both of them, the bastards. But people are like jizzing all over Adama Traore. I think he's the most all speed, no skill strike winger in the entirety of the Premier League. I think he has zero end product. Everyone's like,
Okay.
he's so quick. Like, who cares? He's shit.
So what I've seen from him is I've seen him hold the ball up and he's really strong and no one can get the ball off him. That's number one. Second one, I've seen him whiz past people with incredible pace. It's number two. Number three, I've seen him beat defenders for fun. The thing he doesn't have is the final ball, but strength, power, pace, and skill, they're. That's four attributes. And how old is he? 22?
I don't know. How many assists
I
do you
think he's
think
that
he's?
magical age.
How many assists do you
I think
think
he's
he's
got
got?
none. I think he only got his. I think he's either got none or one. He's got
He's got
hardly anything.
one assist and no goals.
Yeah, he got it very recently. The commentators were talking about it. Would you believe that's his first assist or something like that?
I would.
But it's just the attribute. He's. I don't want him for Liverpool, but if Klopp had a player like Traore,
Yeah.
I could see him prospering because he gets beyond the player, and with lots of numbers in the box, maybe a dumb, idiotic, weak right foot cutback is tapped away by one of the four players in the box, like a Lallana. Think about Lallana, one of Lallana's goals against Arsenal,
Yeah.
where he just sort of, reshapes himself. So I think he's got all the tools to be a really good Klopp player, for example. But he clearly is not working out at the moment. But that's the type of player I like. I think those players will always work well. And it's hard to beat a player with that skill that he's got.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3 step over, beat him. Sturridge does it. And that's why Sturridge is always going to be so fucking effective.
Yeah.
He's quick off the mark. He's got and it's close skill. If he beats the player and it doesn't work out, he'll put his foot on it and start again.
Yeah.
That's that skill level. Someone like, even Milner can do step overs, but he sort of doesn't have that. I've talked about a lot, the pivot point where he doesn't can't come back quick enough.
Yeah.
Sturridge, my God, he can turn 360 degrees like that.
I have noticed going through the amount of games that their team have played, they really have not. They must have real troubles with injuries. There's only one player that's played all the games, and that's Ben Gibson on 37. The next one down is Negredo with 35 games, and then it's like 33, then 23, then 26 games. Like they've really had a really disjointed squad this year, and it shows on their position on the table. So. I'm not going to read too much into it because that's probably just going to make me get all panicky and think maybe we will actually lose this game. So I'm just going to wipe that out of my head completely and just hope for the best. I might just leave it there for this pod for today because there's so much to talk about come Monday. Hopefully, not too much bad stuff. But Liverpool's coming next week and you're going to be at Cheers on Sunday, right?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna be there was I just a job I'm working on at the moment. They said that we need you until Wednesday, and you'll be back Wednesday 5 p.m. like to get a flight out
Oh my God.
from Melbourne. And I was like, holy shit, I'm gonna miss the fucking game. But I
Yeah.
think they've wrapped me, so I'm pretty sure that my Wednesday's fine. And then I will be at Cheers on Sunday as well because they don't need me anymore. So there was a
Jeez.
chance I would have had to fly Sunday, but I'm really excited because my Liverpool week continues.
Complete end.
It doesn't come to a premature end.
Yeah, it's gonna be a pretty mental week. So, anyway, dude, do you have any shout outs before we wrap up today's pod? No. Cool, man. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone out there who's listening. Again, this episode has been recorded for the YouTube channel. You finished both beers. I'm very proud of you. Good work, mate.
I wanted another one so bad. I just didn't want to walk around with
Just
the camera.
stand up. You should do what Grizzly Khan does and just goes for a piss midway through a podcast. I'll be right back, guys. Like, okay. But yeah, thanks, man. Thanks, George. Always
Thanks,
appreciate
mate.
it. Okay, and thanks everyone out there listening. Have a very good day or night and goodbye.
Lovely cushion header. But Gerrard!